The priority today is fighting fires and evacuating and getting people to safety.
That's Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison, who's been criticised, as you'll hear, for his response to the country's ongoing and incredible fire crisis. More than 200 fires are burning, many in the country's most populous states, Victoria and New South Wales, which has declared a state of emergency. At least 17 people have been killed, more than 1,400 homes destroyed over months. Tourists have been forced into the sea, millions of animals killed. Koala bears are climbing up on bicycles to drink from riders' water bottles. And conditions are expected to worsen this weekend as the summer season kicks in. Our next guest got a call from her sobbing elderly father trapped in a steel shed on his property. She was able to tweet to fire services who rescued him just before that shed burned to the ground. How frightening. Carol Duncan is a city councillor in Newcastle in New South Wales. Also a former broadcaster with Australian Broadcasting Corporation. She's in Melbourne now. And Carol, so sorry your father had that experience. And this was before, by the way, your summer even started.
Yeah, that's nearly 3 months ago. And my father was actually very lucky to survive in those fires. Yeah. And two of their friends died in those fires.
Just terrible. And can you just describe for me some of the things you're seeing when the television's on? We see snippets here, and it's astonishing. What are you seeing?
I think what a lot of Australians are seeing at the moment is basically the eastern seaboard of this continent on fire. We are seeing images that we've seen before, but we haven't seen them on this scale. So it is now so big that I think people feel helpless and powerless. It is so big that they don't know how to truly comprehend the significance of this. But the Deputy Commissioner of the Rural Fire Service, Rob Rogers, said that if we had 10,000 firefighters, we still wouldn't be able to put these fires out. Another one of the conversations, and this is something I think we've talked about over the years as well, you know, in the future, wars will be fought over fuel or petrol or water. We're seeing in one small town on the south coast of New South Wales, Maruya, people queuing up and actually fighting to try and get into a supermarket to get food. So there, at the moment, roads are cut. We can't get water in. We can't get food and fresh groceries and things in. There is another town in Inverell in northern New South Wales where the locals have actually parked their cars to blockade a water supply so that the water carters, they have been accusing another town of coming in and filling up their massive water carting trucks to go and fill up people's swimming pools. So I think we're at a really horrible tipping point. And what we're seeing now, which has also really blown up over the last few days, I guess, in particular of this bushfire crisis in Australia, is that people who previously haven't been talking about the effect of climate change are starting to not just talk about it, but demand action on it.
Well, that includes your own government, because they've faced a lot of criticism. Your prime minister left and went on a vacation, but he's also virulently anti the thinking that there is a climate crisis. People in his administration have actually name-called people who want to talk about climate change. I mean, how are people reacting to that? And he seems to have suddenly recently been raising the question of, well, maybe this does have something to do with climate change.
I am not sure how seriously he may be taking that or paying lip service, but I think a lot of Australians are very, very angry at the Prime Minister and the government. And you mentioned, you know, that one of the comments from the man who was the acting Prime Minister while our PM went to Hawaii over Christmas referred to people who were concerned about climate change as raving inner city lefty lunatics or some such thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm afraid that now that's actually, well, I'm not afraid, I'm glad. It's actually mums and dads and people who've maybe been going, oh, yeah, I don't know about this climate change thing, are starting to actually see, most horrifically in this particular event, what that means. And there's still a lot of fighting going on social media about climate change doesn't start fires. Well, no, it doesn't. But we have been told for decades now that it will make these sorts of events bigger, more severe. In April of last year, more than 20 of Australia's former fire and emergency chiefs from multiple states and territories, these are very, very senior former fire and emergency officials, warned the government to do something. They said that Australia was unprepared for worsening natural disasters from climate change and that governments are putting lives at risk. I suspect when the coronial hearings and inquiry start at some point after this disaster, that group and the coroner are going to be asking some very, very tough questions.
Coronial hearings, hearings into the deaths. Wow. And by the way, just to underscore what you just said, your Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has said, I'm not going to write off the jobs of thousands of Australians by walking away from traditional industries like coal, which, of course, produces the emissions that's producing the extreme weather situations that we're seeing. Yeah.
This is the man who took a lump of coal into the federal parliament.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, actually, the city of Newcastle, where I come from, is the world's largest coal export port. So in my home city and my home region of the Hunter Valley, it is a coal mining region. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are demanding for an instant shutdown to coal exports and so on. And, of course, that's, you know, this nation's economy needs those exports. So that's going to be an incredibly difficult and vexed conversation for us too, and for something to actually handle actively into the future to make sure that we really do produce a just transition for those many, many communities around Australia who rely on coal mining, you know, because we can't just turn it off. We would devastate families, we'd devastate communities and the economy.
That's Carol Duncan, City Councillor in Newcastle in New South Wales, former broadcaster with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. Carol, we have sympathy for your dad. He lost his home, his cattle, escaped with the clothing on his back, as that cliched phrase goes. So sorry about that. And we wish you and your family and everyone there the best. Thank you.
Thank you.